Let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this is the first Sunday of Advent, and this is my favorite time of the year. I love the cookies and the caroling. I love the candles. I love the ornaments and the decorations, the lights, the pageants, all of it pointing to the birth of Christ. All of it pointing to Christmas Day when God came to be with us. The Gospel of John says that the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. It's exciting. It's a good time of the year. But if we really stop and think about what that means, that God came, we might have a little bit of a different feeling about it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in a sermon that he wrote called The Coming of Christ in Our Midst, says, "This is first and foremost terrifying news for anyone with a conscience, that God might actually show up. This is first and foremost terrifying news for anyone with a conscience, that God might actually show up." Bonhoeffer was a pastor, theologian, spy, and Nazi dissident during World War II. And he knows something about, he has something to say about those with a conscience. He points out that the incarnation, the coming of Christ, Christmas, is actually something only those in need of God's intervention would ever beg for. Those enacting the injustice, or those smug in their powerful positions, would do well to rethink the celebration. In our passage for today, we have an acknowledgement of how terrifying that idea is of God actually showing up. Isaiah says, "When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains quaked at your presence." That's perhaps a reference back to the days of the Exodus, when God met Moses up on Mount Sinai, and the mountain covered in cloud shook at the presence of God. And the people saw the cloud, and they felt the quaking, and they were terrified. And only Moses dared to climb the mountain to encounter the divine. And when Moses comes back down that quaking mountain, he's physically altered by the encounter. And Isaiah here, with the courage or maybe the audacity of Moses, is begging God to come again in that power. Isaiah says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake, and when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, so that the nations might tremble at your presence." Boiling water and mountains shaking and nations trembling, it's not so terribly comfort and joy. It's more like just terribly terrifying. Yet Isaiah longs so much for the presence of God, the power of God, the action of God. The cry here is for God to not just open up the heavens, but to disrupt, to tear open the heavens. Something you can open, you can just close again, but something that is torn open can never be put back. And that's what Isaiah wants. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever just so much wanted God to do something? Have you ever just wanted God to right the terrible injustice? Maybe it's the injustice of illness that you're experiencing, or the untimely death of somebody that you love, or the injustice of war in our world. There are displaced people, hatred so big that it threatens genocide, Or the injustice in our own country, too few with adequate health care coverage, the greed of consumerism that infects our public spaces, or just one more report of powerful men in positions that are treating others as objects to be harassed or abused. Have you ever felt just so fed up like Isaiah that you say, just God, come and do something and tear it all down? Maybe it's a deeper cry even than that for you. This lament from Isaiah was written at the end of the Babylonian exile. You remember the Jews were conquered by the Babylonians. They were taken away from their homes. Their beloved city, Jerusalem, the walls were torn down and the temple was destroyed. And they were taken into exile in Babylon, and there they wept. They cried out for God. They wrote a whole book of lamentations, crying for their home. But this was written after that, when the Persians had come and taken over the Babylonians, and Cyrus of Persia had told the Jews they could go home. They could go back to Jerusalem, to the Promised Land. They were saved. You would expect this to be a period full of joy for Isaiah and for the people. And indeed, there's much written in the Bible of this period that is joyous. But here, for the writer in the passage today, there's still so much confusion and hurt. He's gotten everything he always wanted. And the Babylonians got their just desserts. They got that revenge. But why still this deep longing then that Isaiah feels? Even in the midst of what might be joyous, even for us, in the midst of a season where the whole culture seems to be celebrating, there can still be disappointment and disillusionment. And we hear this cry of Isaiah for our first Sunday of Advent. God, just tear open the heavens and come down to be with us. Maybe you've never felt that way. Maybe you're just fine with the way things are, and God can just stay up in heaven, thank you very much. But there are those that need for God to do something. Plenty of people in our community and even in our church who are suffering and cannot wait for God to come down and right the injustice, even if it means tearing open the heavens. And Advent is a call, first and foremost, for us to stop and feel our own pain and acknowledge the suffering and the cry of those around us. Open our eyes to the injustice in our world and the pain of our neighbor. And that's why we celebrate Christmas in the midst of the season of darkness. That's why we choose to celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th. We could have chosen to celebrate it in the summer or the spring, and indeed it's more likely that Jesus' birth happened in a warmer time. After all, part of the story is that there was a census, and you wouldn't ask people to travel a long way in a time that would be difficult. Also, part of the story is that the shepherds were out watching their flocks at night. In the colder months, they would have brought them in and kept them warm. So why? Why in the middle of winter? When looking for a day to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the light of Christ coming, the early Christians looked around and they said, when can we celebrate this day? And there were already people who were celebrating Saturnalia, or the return of the sun to the world. In the winter, the nights get longer and longer as the days get shorter. And people felt, which maybe some of you have felt before, I have when I felt in the north, that you just long for the sun to come back. You long for it so much, and the ancient people longed for it so much that they watched so closely. Are the days getting longer yet? Is it now? Is the light coming back yet? When is it happening? When is this, the darkness going to stop creeping in and the light going to start to take back some of its space? And they thought it was December 25th, We know now that it's actually a little bit sooner, that the solstice is on the 21st. That's the longest night, the shortest day. And then the 22nd, the light starts to creep back in slowly. But the 25th, that's when they could really notice it. They knew for sure, yes, the light is coming back on the 25th. And when the early Christians were looking for a day to celebrate the birth of Christ, they said, yes, when the light returns, that's what it's like. It's like longing and begging for the darkness to cease. It's like celebrating that first glimpse and hope of light in a dark season. It makes me think of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that great classic book, where the worst thing that you could possibly imagine what's happening in Narnia is that it is always winter and never Christmas. And that is why we put our season of light right in the midst of the darkness and cold. Because in the midst of the darkness of injustice, the darkness of hate and loss and helplessness, this dark season in which we linger, we're waiting for the light to come back into the broken world. And that's where we begin our Advent vigil this year, our Advent waiting season in darkness. So let us not brush it aside so easily or hide it away too quickly. Let's begin by acknowledging the darkness and the terrifying prospect of true divine intervention. That's our first task. And that's why today, for our affirmation of faith, we have not the Apostles' Creed, but another statement from our PCUSA Book of Confessions. It's from the Confession of 1967, a statement of faith about what the coming of Christ is all about. We'll say it together after the sermon, but it says, "The reconciling work of Jesus was the supreme crisis in the life of humankind. And Christ's cross and resurrection become personal crisis for us, for anyone who acknowledges the gospel when it's proclaimed and believes it. The inbreaking of God into our world is first and foremost terrifying and the supreme crisis for humanity and for us personally when we really stop to consider it. But also, notice this that's in the confession. It is the personal crisis and the present hope. The present hope for all who hear and dare to believe. Because when Isaiah cried out to God to show up, he was willing to take that divine intervention with all of the tearing and rending and quaking and shaking that would come with it. That's how much he needed God to show up. That is the only kind of inbreaking of God that he knew to expect. But the gospel is that when the incarnation happened, God didn't come with shaking and quaking, but as a tiny, helpless baby. Jesus as a baby is a radical reorganizing of this whole cry. So we start then with an Advent log that is still more darkness than it is light. One little light for hope, shining brightly, defiantly, while the other four wait, still in the darkness, for the celebration of this radical reorganizing of what it means for God to show up. This one little light in hope that the light is returning, even in the midst of our deepest darkness. May it be so, and may we wait together. In the name of God, the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.